This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Grain of salt and all.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at what's happening in the broader economy as we begin the trading day. We learned this morning that first-time jobless claims last week fell unexpectedly to 522,000. Analysts were expecting a slight rise in new unemployment claims. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He joins us live this morning from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So these numbers sound better, Bill, but I'm confused. I mean, some automakers furloughed workers, and it's not like the unemployment rate's going down anytime soon. What gives?
Well, you're right. They are a little bit better. It's just not quite as good as it may seem. You had these furloughed auto workers that was done earlier than normal. So we've had some come back onto the back into employment again, which is good news. But there's this underlying adjustment that the government makes to these numbers. So it makes the numbers this week a little bit better than they probably should be.
Yeah, and we got reports this morning. Megabank J.P. Morgan Chase had better than expected profits today. I want you to hang on a second, Bill,
okay,
as we talk about the troubles over at business lender CIT. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live with an update. Mitchell, what's going on over there?
Well, the situation with CIT is that it's told its debt holders that they have 24 hours to come up with $2 billion in emergency financing. Otherwise, the company's probably heading for bankruptcy. Until yesterday, there were frantic rescue discussions going on with Treasury, the Fed, and the FDIC, but regulators don't think the company's got a viable business plan. The Fed did a stress test on the bank and thinks it probably needs $4 billion. Keep in mind, it's already gotten more than $2 billion in TARP money. And finally, regulators don't think CIT is crucial to the financial system's stability, so they seem willing to just let it go and see what happens. There's a million businesses that depend on CIT for credit lines and to finance their daily operations. You know, but who knows? Maybe they can scramble, they can find other lenders and work it out even without CIT.
Mm. All right. Mitchell Hartman, thanks. So back to you, Bill Stone. Does that seem realistic? If CIT does fail, will it be a nuisance or a disaster for businesses?
Well, I think it is a tough call. I think that's why the government was spending up until the last minute and may still be, you know, thinking about a rescue. You know, on one hand, when you think about these businesses, probably a lot like individuals in the sense that some of the better businesses, the ones with better credit, probably won't have necessarily a hard time finding another lender. It's those ones on the bubble and maybe in a little more trouble that may, unfortunately, push them over the edge.
All right. Bill Stone joining us from Philly. Bill, thanks.
Thanks.
Where's Wall Street? Basically flat. The S&P 500 up about 0.2%. NASDAQ up about 0.4%. The Dow up about 0.5%. Asian markets had gains today. European stocks slightly higher right now. We got word today from RealtyTrack that in the first half of the year, the number of American households on the verge of foreclosure shot up by almost 15%. People out of work having trouble paying their house notes. And the automobile industry has a lot to do with those without jobs. As part of their respective bankruptcies, GM and Chrysler shut down dealership after dealership across the country. Now there are three separate bills in Congress trying to get them reopened. But why focus on dealers? Alisa Roth reports.
It's not exactly a great time to be selling cars. People aren't buying them, and factories aren't producing many of them. I called the National Automobile Dealers Association to ask why anybody would want to be in the business right now.
Boy, that's a tough question.
Bailey Wood is the group's spokesman.
Automotive retailing is and continues to be a significant part of the economic fabric of the United States.
Especially in small communities where dealers have traditionally been big employers. Ron Harbor is an industry consultant in Michigan. He says people will make money selling cars again one day.
If sales go up to similar levels of where they were several years ago, those dealers that are left are going to be very, very profitable, and those will be very good businesses to be in.
Harber says the uproar in Washington over closing dealerships now is political. Most states don't have auto plants, but just about every congressional district has auto dealerships. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
American Public Media presents the Marketplace Whiteboard, videos unwrapping the basics of the financial crisis. You can watch them anytime at marketplace.org.
We've known it for 3.5 decades as a Sears Tower, but today the Chicago landmark is now the Willis Tower, and there's a new green plan, Adrian Hill reports.
Chicago's Sears, soon-to-be Willis Tower, is an icon on the Chicago skyline, and its owners also want to make it a symbol of environmental sustainability. John Houston is one of the building's co-owners. He takes me out onto the roof of the 90th floor.
We're looking over at Lake Michigan to the east here, and right in front of us is the beginnings of a green roof.
Red, white, and green plants fill out a test planter box. The plan is to cover the entire area with similar plants to help cool the building in summer. But the roof isn't where the big energy savings will come from. That'll be from changing out the building's mechanical systems and replacing its exterior, including each of the 16,000 windows.
It's interesting what happens when you walk into a window vendor. When you say, we're interested in ordering 16,000 windows, you get a different level of attention.
Houston and his partners are hoping to pay for the makeover with public and private money. They decline to discuss amounts. The Sears Tower isn't the only skyline marvel set to get an environmental redo. The Empire State Building in New York City has announced a more modest $20 million overhaul. They're the sort of projects that can make environmentalists feel all fuzzy inside.
The potential that they represent as icons is really the potential of our country to rebuild itself in this green way.
That's Scott Horst from the U.S. Green Building Council. He says greening iconic buildings like Sears Tower and the Empire State Building could inspire other business owners to do the same. But these projects aren't just about doing good. They also make business sense, according to Melissa Pionic with commercial real estate company C.B. Richard Ellis.
With the way the economy has gone in the last couple of years and recently, buildings are really looking for a way to stand out in the world of leasing from their neighbor.
Pionic says environmentally efficient buildings often have lower operating costs for tenants, which is a lot easier on the bottom line. In Chicago, I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And if you have some towering thoughts, share them with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.